All right, now we're going to hear from Laura Tomati, PhD, MPH. She's a CSD-funded alcohol epidemiology with the New Mexico Department of Health. Dr. Tomati currently chairs the Alcohol Subcommittee of CSDE and is a member of the New Mexico State Epidemiological Outcomes Work Group. Her current interests include alcohol-related epidemiology, policy, and programmatic support. Prior to joining the New Mexico Department of Health, Dr. Tomati was a CDC CSTE Applied Epidemiology Fellow in Chronic Disease. She received a Master in Public Health degree from the University of New Mexico and her doctorate degree in epidemiology from the University of Pittsburgh. And here you are.
Thank you, Al. All right, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about some partnerships that we're trying to build with chronic disease around alcohol use, alcohol consumption among adults diagnosed with diabetes in New Mexico. So just to, since this is a substance abuse section, I thought I would spend a little bit of time laying some groundwork for diabetes, since I'm assuming that we aren't all working in the field. So diabetes is a disease which blood glucose levels are above normal, either because the body isn't making enough insulin or just doesn't use its insulin as well as it should. There's a number of different types of diabetes. I'm sure some of them you've heard about, like type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, gestational diabetes. There are also a number of specific types of diabetes that can be due to surgery complications, to genetic conditions, and a couple of other things. And then prediabetes, just to clarify, is a condition where a person has high blood sugar, but it's not high enough that they would actually be diagnosed with diabetes. However, 15 to 30% of people with prediabetes do develop type 2 diabetes within 5 years if they don't make major lifestyle changes. And diabetes is pretty serious. Diabetes can cause complications such as heart disease, blindness, kidney failure, lower extremity amputations, and it's the seventh leading cause of death in the United States. In 2014, about 22 million people had diagnosed diabetes, so this was that they reported that their doctor had told them. However, and it's important to note, the prevalence of diabetes has been increasing very rapidly in the last 20 years. And also that almost 28% of people with diabetes are undiagnosed. So another survey, NHANES, actually goes in and tests people's blood sugar and asks them if they've been diagnosed. So this 22 million is actually probably more along the lines of there's 29 to 30 million adults with diabetes in the United States. So here, there's a number of different treatments for diabetes. So most type 2 diabetes is the most prevalent. I think it's about 90%, 90 to 95% of people with diabetes have type 2 diabetes. And diabetes can be treated through a number of different methods, including pills, so oral medications. Really common ones, and this is going to be important later on, are like metformin. Hopefully I'm not mispronouncing these drugs. Hold on, let me look at my notes. Metformin and also sulfuramide. Here we go. Does anyone know how to pronounce this correctly? Sulfonylureas. I had Google say it for me several times before I came in today. Turns out, yeah, I know. Google is actually very hard to understand. So, so this is important to note that actually many diabetics, many people with diabetes, the majority are being treated with oral medication only, which is the green line, the most common of which are metformin and the drug I can't pronounce, sulfonylureas. Then there's also insulin only, and then there's a combination of insulin and oral medication, and then the purple line is people who have diabetes who have no medication at all. Actually, I wanted to do a pop quiz. I hope, did you guys see the slide? Oh, okay, whew, okay. Quick pop quiz. How many of you think that when you drink alcohol, your blood sugar goes up? Okay, so like a third, How many of you think that when you drink alcohol, your blood sugar goes down? Okay, so like a third. How many of you think it makes no difference whatsoever? Because, okay, I got one. You're all wrong. So adults with diabetes need to be really cautious with excessive alcohol consumption. So moderate amounts of alcohol will actually increase your blood sugar. However, excessive alcohol consumption can cause severe hypoglycemia, especially if you are taking medications such as sulfonylureas. So certain oral medications make your pancreas produce more insulin. And so if you are excessively drinking and taking these oral medications, then your blood sugar will exponentially bottom out. And this can be a really dangerous situation for people with diabetes. Also metformin. The mechanism for metformin is that metformin your liver changes, you know, is involved in this sugar making process. And metformin will actually have your liver stop making glucose. So when you drink alcohol, the reason why your blood sugar drops when you excessively drink alcohol is because your liver has to sort of make priorities, right? So usually it makes glucose for your body, but if you have a lot of alcohol in your bloodstream, your liver goes, stop making glucose, because we got to take care of this alcohol. And so because of that, that mechanism is actually very similar to what metformin does. So if people have any kind of liver damage whatsoever, it's really important they be very careful about taking metformin, and maybe probably shouldn't take it at all, because it can actually be fatal. So there's some other things. For example, excessive alcohol consumption may affect your judgment and encourage overeating, which can affect your blood sugar. And, you know, so for example, many people with diabetes have a pump that regulates their insulin, and they have to look at their meal and then calculate the carbs and then enter that in, and then they have their meal. So if you are drinking excessively, doing that math, at least for me, is a little bit more difficult. Alcohol can also interfere. Well, we talked about that. And then excessive alcohol consumption can exacerbate diabetes-related complications such as nerve damage or eye disease. So alcohol and diabetes in New Mexico. In 2014, more than 1 in 10 or 11% of adults in New Mexico reported they had been diagnosed with diabetes. Remember that this is probably quite a bit higher of people who have diabetes. About 14% of adults in New Mexico report that they binge drink. And Daphne already went over the definitions very handily for me, so I don't have to. And then almost 6% of adults in New Mexico report heavy drinking. And what was really concerning is that over a third of adults diagnosed with diabetes had not been asked by their healthcare provider about their alcohol use. So we asked alcohol screening and brief intervention module in our BRFIS for a few years, and this was one of the kind of concerning things that came out when we were looking at that data. And this is just among people who had a routine checkup in the last year. So our objective here was really just to do a very basic, epi descriptive study of the patterns of excessive alcohol consumption among adults diagnosed with diabetes and assess this association by general demographics. We looked at the behavioral risk factor surveillance system in New Mexico using 2012 through 2014 data. We had to aggregate 3 years to, you know, because only about 10%, 11% of adults have diabetes, and there's also sort of a limitation in the number of people who binge drink. We aggregated 3 years so that we would have enough sample size to really slice and dice it a little bit finer. And we assessed binge drinking and we assessed heavy drinking. Estimates were calculated for adults who had ever been diagnosed with diabetes, and we compared those to those who had never been diagnosed with diabetes. And then we were assessed it by age, gender, race, ethnicity, income, and education. So first we just looked at the basic prevalence of binge drinking or of heavy drinking, and compared adults with diabetes and adults without. So in general, adults with diabetes, which is that like lime green bar, are much less likely to binge drink and also heavy drink compared to adults without diabetes, which is in that kind of weird bright yellow color. So great, story over, right? They're at low risk. Yay, we're done. Just kidding. Okay, so then, but then when we look at demographics, so this is looking at the prevalence of binge drinking and heavy drinking by diabetes diagnosis, which again, adults with diabetes is in the green and adults without diabetes is in the yellow. And when we look at it by age, if we look over at binge drinking, the folks who are 18 to 34 years old, we have a really wide confidence interval, but still there is not really much of a difference between those two groups. And then when we look at heavy drinking, we see the same thing. So again, I put the confidence intervals on there so that you know that we're dealing with some shaky data. But still, this was concerning. Because adults 18 to 34 are at very high risk for binge drinking, and it looks like that high risk is carrying over into adults who are diagnosed with diabetes as well. So we also looked at it by annual household income, and we found that kind of the pattern was consistent by income, right? So adults with diabetes were less likely to heavy drink or binge drink, regardless of income category. We also looked at educational status, and we saw a little bit of the closing of the gap in heavy drinking for high school, for less than high school, but really was not, not really. They're basically the same. So so we still see this pattern by education. And then when we looked by race ethnicity, in binge drinking, adults with diabetes are less likely to binge drink compared to adults without diabetes. However, if we look at heavy drinking, American Indians were just as likely to be heavy drinkers regardless of whether they had been diagnosed with diabetes or not, which is concerning. At least in New Mexico, American Indians are at higher risk for diabetes. And I apologize, we weren't able to generate estimates for Asian, Pacific Islander, or Black African American prevalence estimates, because even with 3 years aggregated, we still had an insufficient sample size. And then lastly, when we looked at gender, again, gender didn't seem to make as much of a difference, with the exception maybe of heavy drinking in men. Then we start to see a little bit of confidence interval crossing. But generally, adults with diabetes, that gender didn't make that much of a difference. So in summary, generally adults who have been diagnosed with diabetes are at lower risk for excessive drinking, which is what we heard when we talked to a lot of family pregnant, like when we talked with clinicians, they were like, oh, it's not a big deal because people don't drink and we're okay. So, generally, yeah, adults with diabetes are at lower risk for excessive drinking. However, this risk is not... this isn't the case among certain demographic groups, and specifically among certain demographic groups who might be at higher risk. So, for example, adults who age 18 to 34, and then also for American Indians. So, and unfortunately, once we sort of limited it to people with diabetes, and once we limited it to people who were binge drinking and to people who were heavy drinking, we did end up with some pretty small sample sizes, which limited the analysis. But still... It really, what this drove home for us was that excessive alcohol use is a really serious issue for adults diagnosed with diabetes, that there are many adults with diabetes who should probably not be drinking any alcohol, for example, if they are taking certain oral medications. And while the overall risk of excessive drinking was low, that the risk was not equally distributed between demographic groups, and that in our discussions with clinicians, this was not apparent in their knowledge base. So we're kind of recommending that healthcare providers incorporate alcohol screening and brief intervention in care with all patients who have diabetes. So alcohol screening and brief intervention is basically asking people about their alcohol, and then if they screen positive, you can use one question to screen for binge drinking, and if they screen positive, having a brief discussion with them. As Daphne said, most excessive drinkers are not alcohol dependent, so they respond very well to a brief discussion with their physician about their alcohol use. Frankly, a lot of people, I think that conversation with their clinician is kind of a wake-up moment. So alcohol screening and brief intervention or counseling can reduce the amount consumed on occasion by 25% in those who drink too much. As Daphna mentioned, it is a community guide recommendation. ESBI is a community guide recommendation, the electronic version. However, it is also a United States Preventative Service Task Force recommends that all adults be screened, so not just adults with diabetes. And it has a B recommendation, which is similar to the recommendation for mammography to prevent breast cancer. Yep. And next steps. I would like to take this a little bit further to take it to the diabetes. We have a very strong diabetes council in New Mexico. I'd like to meet with them, to show them this presentation, talk with them, and to maybe try and strategize some ways that maybe we can get this information out to clinicians, to healthcare providers, and to diabetes educators a little bit more. And I have a student who's willing to help me make educational materials. And then maybe expand the analysis a little bit more to increase sample size. As you saw in the results, I ran into a couple of sample size issues. So thank you. And we're not going to ask questions now, so ignore that. We're going to ask questions afterward. Thank you.